Praise God. Hallelujah. Is it well? Is it well? Do you have breath this morning? The word of God declares, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Amen? Can you praise the Lord? There's so many reasons, there's so many things to praise God about that should get you excited. Just the mere fact that you went to bed, you retired, sleep came upon you, you didn't do anything to fall asleep. You didn't take any medication, you didn't do anything, but naturally, God caused you to fall asleep. And you slept through the night, and again, you didn't do anything to wake yourself up, but it was God waking you up. So God has been really good to us. And in his goodness and his mercies and his love towards us, that should be reason enough to give him a shout of praise, to tell him who he is. Because you see, God is so much to us. He's our everything. The Bible declares that he is our all in all. Amen? Amen? So I don't know about you. When I think about the goodness of God upon my life, upon my family's life, hey, that's reason enough to get excited and to praise the Lord. Amen. Can I just encourage you this morning? In spite of what you're going through, you need to praise God. Hello? I'm not asking you lightly, but I'm telling you, hello? You need to praise God. Because why? He deserves the praises. Amen. Many times we give praises to people, we give praises to things and circumstances. We idolize things and situations in our lives, and we don't realize, hey, the harm this is causing to us. And the true and living God who created us, who formed us, who caused us to be here, hello, causes us to live and to breathe, hello. The Bible declares that it's in him we live and breathe and have our being. That's reason enough to get excited and to praise God. Amen? Hallelujah. I can go on and on, because you see, praise sets the stage. It sets the stage. We're talking about this miraculous. We're talking about the multiplication by miracles. But praise really sets the stage for this to happen. When you praise God, you see, his presence resonates. Yeah. Now, we usually say that when the praises go up, the blessings come down. You're here this morning and you want God to do something for you. You're going through a situation. Probably you have some struggles. Hello? You need God to do something for you. I'm here to remind you this morning that he is able. Amen? In spite of what you're going through, he is able. I just want to take this opportunity to thank Pastor Steve for entrusting this responsibility upon me and believing in me and giving me that opportunity to stand on his pulpit. Amen? Thank you very much. All right, so enough about me, enough about you. Let's focus on him. Yeah. Amen? Let's focus on him. It's all about him this morning. Amen? All right. So we're continuing with that series on multiplication by miracles. And this morning, I want us to look to the scriptures. We're going to go into the book of St. Luke's Gospel, and we're going to read from St. Luke's Gospel chapter number 5. We're going to read from verse 1 on to 11. So verse 1 says, so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and the net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knee, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So when they had brought the boat to land, they forsook all and followed him. Glory to God. So powerful. There is so much in this portion of scripture. I mean, you can write several sermons out of this. And so let's set the stage for this. Let's set the stage. Jesus showed up on the scene. What's the situation? Men been toiling all night, toiling, looking for fish. And that was what they do. I guess they knew so many different strategies to catch fish. Probably they relied on the moon, the phase of the moon, maybe the tide. So much strategies that they would have used. But that particular night, they caught nothing. Knowledge would have failed. Skills would have failed. And they came back hopeless. And they were washing the nets, probably thinking, what are we going to say to our families? What are we going to say to the people who depend upon us? And as they washed their nets, Jesus came on the scene. Strange that when you are at a low point in your life, when you seems to be hopeless, Jesus just have a way of showing up. He shows up just at your hour of need. And so Jesus showed up there, and the multitude followed him. They followed him because they wanted to hear the word of the Lord. They wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. And those fishermen, they were there tending to their nets, still probably frustrated, you know, angry, wondering what has happened. And look at what happened now. Jesus on the scene got into Peter's boat and asked Peter to push him out a bit. He went out. Peter's boat became a platform for Jesus. See, Jesus always needs something from us. I mean, it's not that he can't perform his miracles by himself, but he's saying what it is that you have that can be useful. What it is that you are willing to commit so that I can meet you halfway. What it is that you're willing to give up so that I can be with you. And I can walk for you, and that I can walk through you and in you. And so Peter did not hesitate. Allow Jesus to use his stage. My God, and what happened next changed the scope of everything for Peter and for those who witnessed the miracle. See, this was not just a miracle about catching fish. It was more. There was much more in this. And the first thing I want to look at here is Peter's obedience. Obedience is the key that unlocks the door to miracles. It is the key that unlocks the door to your blessings. Hello? It is that key that unlocks the miraculous, the divine. It is that key when you decide to obey. If you go back and you look into scripture, you would realize, last week, Nehemi spoke on the oil, the miracle where Christ multiplied the oil for that widow. It was the obedience of the widow. When the man of God said to her, "Go collect containers from your neighbors, all that you have," watch what happened. She obeyed. Do you know when the miracle ceased? Or why the miracle ceased? It ceased because of capacity. There were no more vessels. Had there been more vessels, that miracle would continue. And sometimes when God starts a work in our life, when God decides to do something in you and I, after a while, we lack the capacity. Sometimes even in the midst of the move of the Spirit of God, we shut down and we lack capacity to receive that which God wants to give to us. You see, God is a God of abundance. God, He lacks nothing. He wants to pour Himself. He wants to pour the Spirit into your life and into my life in an abundance that it overflows. And so here we're seeing now that Peter is acting out of obedience. Total obedience. Next slide, please. And so we would see that from chapter, verse 5 of chapter 5, Peter says, just go back up, please. Sorry. Right. Peter is saying here, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Peter had many reservations. Come on, he's tired. He's frustrated. We worked all night, caught nothing. Man, this is our trade. We know what we're doing. And now you're saying to let down our nets. This is not your area of specialism, Jesus. I mean, you go preach the word. You know, tell people about their lives. Tell people about the kingdom. But this is not your area. And so sometimes we're wrapped up in what we know. Hello? Yeah, we're wrapped up with the knowledge that we have. And we think that we really know it. Not until Jesus makes us look really foolish. Yeah. And so Peter must have rationalized, come on, I'm tired. Didn't get sleep. What is he talking about? We wasted an entire night, Jesus, and we got nothing. And now you're asking me now to go out into the deep. Peter remembered who he was talking to and who was talking to him. When you know who is talking to you, you're going to be obedient. And so there and then Peter said, nevertheless, at your word. Come on, somebody. At your word, you need to hold God at His word. Hallelujah. At your word, I will let down the net. You know what that net signifies? That net did not just signify a net to catch fish. Peter was letting down the shame. He was letting down pride. He was letting down frustration into the deeps there. He was letting down selflessness now. He was saying, my God, I'm just going to be selfless now. He was letting down all the brokenness. Come on, somebody. He was letting down the anxiety, the disappointment, that emptiness, that hopelessness, the pains and the hurt that life would have brought to him, the failure and the lack. He was just letting it down. And that's what Jesus wants you to do. When you're at a place where you don't know what else to do, when your back seems to be against the wall, when you seem to be giving up this morning, I am here to tell you, this is confirmation to what God was saying to you this morning. Do not give up. There is hope. There is hope. I am here to confirm that word. God is saying to you this morning, do not give up. Your miracle is right on the brink and you don't know it. Do not give up this morning. Hallelujah. So Peter let down the net. He let down his shame. He let down all the anxiety. This morning you might be here and it doesn't matter who you are. Listen, those guys were labeled in a particular way. Fishermen were labeled as nobodies. Cursed birds. Only foul language that came from their mouths. But here, Jesus is going to make a difference. He's going to make a difference. And I want to tell you, Jesus is the difference. And Jesus will make a difference in your life this morning. If you only obey at His word, you let your net down this morning. Let down your shame this morning. Give up that which has been bothering you, that anxiety, that frustration, hello, that hopelessness, the doubts, that relationship that seemed to be strangling you. God is saying, give it up. Let it down this morning. And watch what would happen. The net arose. They drew the net in. And as they drew the nets in, there was that mighty catch. You know how Peter would have felt. You know how everyone that looked on would have felt. Because going all night and catch nothing, they caught nothing. And now, a new picture is about to resonate. Something that's going to be remembered for the rest of their lives. That after toiling in their own strength and being so frustrated, now there is a new chapter that's about to begin in their lives. But they didn't know it. There is a new chapter that's about to begin in your life, but you don't know it. Not until you decide to be obedient to the word of God. Not until you decide that you're going to be obedient to the call of God upon your life. Hallelujah. So the miracle took place. Something great has happened. And as that net come up now, here is Peter. There is a renewed hope. There is a renewed joy. Hallelujah. When God gets into your situation, things change. Hallelujah. Things change when God enters your situation. So now there is a renewed peace. There is a sense of purpose, sense of direction, boldness. Imagine now Peter would have lost all his shyness and he's calling, signaling to his friends to come over to help. My God, listen, when Jesus gets a hold of you, hallelujah, and his presence gets into you, you would not be able to help it, but you're going to call to your neighbors. You're going to say, come. You're going to say, come. Remember that woman at the well? My God, she experienced Jesus. She left everything. She left everything. She left all her water pots and ran into the city. She said, come, come see. I found a man. I found a man who knows all things. My God, he knows everything about you. You might think you can hide some stuff. You might hide from your friends and your families and all of that. You might even try to hide things from your own selves. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus knows everything and he does everything. And when he does it well. Hallelujah. He gives you a new hope. There is a joy, my God, a spring in your step as you walk. You feel excited. You know that you can conquer the world now. That's what Jesus does. He awakens you. Your spirit now comes to life. And you feel happy to know that I have someone who's carrying me. I have someone who's helping me through your struggles. You don't have to go through your struggles alone. God is able. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When Jesus is involved, there is no lack. And the lack turns into abundance. Chapter 6 says, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So when Jesus comes in, wherever there is lack, lack turns into abundance. Last week, Nehemi spoke about the oil. Pastor Steve spoke about the miracle with the bread and fish. The very first miracle. Water turned into wine. But what is common with all these miracles? There are just two basic things that you would see running through all of these miracles. And what is that? So, firstly, it's about obedience. They obeyed. The disciples, Jesus said, what is it that they have? What is it that you have? They went out in search. They found the bread and the fish. Multiplication, great multiplication. The woman had to go find containers. She went. Great multiplication. That water, Mary said to the servants, whatever he says to do, do it. My God. They did whatever was said by Jesus that needed to be done. Here, water was turned into wine. Best wine that they ever tasted. My God. Jesus would not shortchange you. He is the best and he would give you the best. Hallelujah. Wouldn't you want to experience the best? The best of everything. He's able. He's able. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's miracle not only meet needs but exceeds them. So you might be asking for something, and God gives you more than you expected. That's the kind of God whom we serve. He gives you so that you can bless others. See, when the miracle comes, it's not just for you, and that you'll be greedy. He wants you to show his love. Hallelujah. He wants others to experience what you are experiencing. He wants others to know that there is a God who cares about them. And so, when the miracle comes, it exceeds our expectations. It exceeds our needs. Glory to God. We move on to the next slide. Real encounter with Jesus leads to repentance. When you have a real encounter with Christ, you could never be the same. You cannot experience Jesus in your life and it's business as usual. There must be something different about you. Peter realized his condition. He realized his heart condition. He realized where he was and who he was with. And realized that he was unworthy. Fell down at Jesus' feet and said, Lord, depart from me. For I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Peter realized who he was. Repentance is about you coming to a place where you realize, hey, that I am going wrong. My heart is not right. I need to make a change. And not just any change, but I need to make a change that would impact my life. I need to make a change that is designed by God. I need to follow the directions of God now. I need to confess my sins and I need to walk in holiness. So Peter repented. Whenever you come into contact with Jesus, your life could never, never be the same. No, there must be some form of change. You would have to start thinking, hey, thinking about your current life and thinking about, hey, how my life could be different now. When Jesus comes in, man, he mashes up that heart of stone, gives you a heart of flesh. Before you didn't know Jesus, there was no crying. Hello? Yeah, there was no crying because you're hard. But now that you know Jesus and true love has come, my God, you get emotional about everything. Yeah, you get emotional about everything. You cry when you see true love. Hello? Yeah. I can't handle it, Pastor Steve. I break down and cry. And that's what the love of God does. It gets into your heart. It softens you up. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's move on to the next one. Hallelujah. God calls ordinary people to extraordinary occasions and events and tasks. Those guys were ordinary. They were fishermen, as I said. They were in the lowest category that society would deem or put people. And God saw the need to come and meet them where they were. Sometimes we label people. Yeah, and pride would get in us and we feel that maybe we're one or two levels above them. But you know the thing I love with Jesus? It doesn't matter who you are. He sees you as his creation. And he's going to come down to meet you at your level. Jesus is not saying to you, come up to my level, come up. No, he comes down right where you are, in your mess, in the gutter, in your situation, and he meets you right where you are. No judgment. He meets you there. And he extends a hand. And he said, come, if you're willing, come. And he takes you up. And he cleans you up. There is no purpose. Hello? He repositions you. He fills you with purpose. It is not about your job. Your job is not your purpose. Hello? Your work is not your purpose. What you do there is not your purpose. True purpose comes when Jesus reveals to you who he is and what your life is about. When he reveals what the kingdom of God is about, because we are citizens of a kingdom, and God reveals the kingdom responsibility, the kingdom duty, what it is that you need to do as a citizen in the kingdom, then and only then you'd realize what your true purpose is in life. So Jesus is going to take you out from where you are, and he's going to fulfill a purpose in your life, and your life would never be the same again. Peter, Jesus said to him, today your life will change. Today, your focus will be shifted. The things that mattered to you most will no longer be so important to you. But there is a shift. God is about to shift you. He's about to shift some situations in your life. And things would never be the same for you thereafter. But remember, obedience is the key. When he says to let go, you need to let go. When he says to let down your net, you need to let your net down. When he says to draw it up, you need to draw it up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus took the fishermen and made them apostles. You see, people knew those fishermen. And that's the good thing about it. Jesus likes to show you off. When he cleans you up, hallelujah. When he sets you up, he likes to show you off. Because you know why? Not for your glory, but for his glory. And that people will see and know that there has been a change. There has been a change. So, fast forward a bit. On the day of Pentecost, Peter was the one delivering the message. From a fisherman now to a fisher of men. When the Spirit of the Lord came on the day of Pentecost and Peter was filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, not just Peter, but all those who were there, that those men started to speak in tongues. That every nation that was within the city and within the hearing of their voice heard their own tongue. How could this be? They asked. And Peter stood up and ministered. And they said to themselves, hey, are these not the fishermen? Are these not those guys that have been down by the seashore? But look, they're so profound now. The language has changed. And Peter proclaimed the very first sermon. And over 3,000 souls came to know the Lord that day. But that's not all. That's not all. Let's go back a little bit. Peter now heard the call, saw the power of God, repented of his sins, and now decided, hey, I'm going to answer the call. And the Bible says that he left everything behind. Imagine this, the largest catch that they ever encountered. And the largest catch in the history of fishing. No fishing trawler could pull that sort of catch. I mean, that would have made Peter and those guys famous. Say, we're going to teach those guys how to fish now. But they left everything behind and followed Jesus. When Jesus comes into your life, some things just don't matter anymore. Some things just don't matter anymore. You see, there is something that will be bubbling inside of you. I don't know about you, but for me, I can tell you that there is something within me that just keep telling me to go on. You know, there is a song like that. Something deep down within me keep telling me to go on. It says the Holy Ghost on fire keep telling me to go on. Listen, when God gets into you, when the Spirit of God gets a hold of your life, you don't have a choice. You would just be motivated to go on and go on and go on because you're going to see the impact that your life is making upon others. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Your profession now. Your profession can become your platform for God. Doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter where you work, what you do. You can take this to be an opportunity to reach people for Jesus. You can help people to know God just by the way you live. Just by the way you live. Just by the way you deal with problems. I mean, at work people would say, oh, Leroy, you're so calm. You don't get annoyed easily about situations. You're so calm. mean, there are times when I really feel that I don't need to be calm. But there is just something inside of me that just shutting down. Hey, it's just shutting down all that anxiety. And you know what it is? It is just the Holy Spirit that gives you that peace. And in spite of what the situation is, in spite of the storms of life, you know that there is someone who is able to calm your storm. That someone is able to bring peace into your situation. And so he's able this morning, whatever you're going through, hello, whatever you're going through, when you let your nets down, just remember, it's not just an empty net that is going down, but you're giving up a number of things, hallelujah, with the faith and the hope, knowing, hello, that he's able to fix things. He's able to change my situation. He's able to turn my sorrows into joy. He's able to turn your mourning into laughter. The Bible declares that weeping endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It doesn't matter how long you've been going through your situation. It doesn't matter how long you've been feeling the way that you're feeling. I'm here to tell you this morning that if you cast your net out, when you draw it in, things will change. You're going to have a catch to celebrate. It's going to be victory. It's not going to be life as usual. It's not going to be business as usual. God wants your obedience this morning. There's some things that you need to give up. There's some things that you need to let go. Hello, there's some things that have been hindering you from moving forward. God is saying to you this morning, let it go. Let it go. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. Your obedience would see that miracle in your life, that change, that welcome. Next one, please. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let go and follow the great call. God is calling you into something this morning. Something bigger than yourself. Something that in your own strength you can't do. But with his guidance, you would be able to do it. With his help, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you would be able to do that. They walked away from the greatest catch of their lives. Are you willing to follow him, even if it means leaving your boat behind? There are men that are making sacrifices every day. But you have to know what God is calling you to do. Stuart is out there. He's making sacrifices. He's leaving some stuff behind. But you have to know what God is asking you to leave behind. You see, when you know God, you will know what he's asking you to do. And I'm not just talking about head knowledge now. I'm talking about when you have that experience with God, when you experience him, when the Holy Spirit comes in, hallelujah, and he ministers to you. When you read the word and the word becomes life, and that word starts to speak to you, you start seeing things differently, you will know what God is asking you to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And in that way, you would not be misled. It wouldn't be just me telling you something, but you will know that you've heard from God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Where is Jesus asking you to launch out this morning? In your workplace, in your family, in your church, in your community? Where is he asking you to launch out? He's asking you to take a step of faith this morning and to launch out. But you must know where he's asking you to launch out. You will know, based on the situations and circumstances that you're surrounded by. So he turned empty nets into overflowing purpose. Those guys now had a renewed purpose, new direction, new hope. They couldn't see their lives being the same. Jesus entered their boat, turned their lives upside down, inside out, and now they have a new joy. They have a new hope. Hallelujah. The miracle this morning is in your obedience. Glory to God. I want to invite you to stand with me. We're going to have the musicians back and we are going to wrap this up. I just want to focus on a portion of scripture. It's not on the slide. It's not on the slide. So it's 1 Kings chapter 17 from verse 8. I'm just going to relay this to you quickly. There was a drought and God spoke to the prophet Elijah, and he said to him, he sent him to a brook, the brook of Kishon, and he said, stay there and I will send a raven, a very greedy bird, to feed you. And daily that raven brought cake and meat, food for the man of God, a bird. And then the brook dried up, and God said to Elisha, I am sending you now to Zarephath. He said, there is a widow there that I have commanded to look after you, to feed you. And Elijah, out of obedience, went. The Bible declares that as he entered the gates, on the outskirts of the gates, he met that widow. She was gathering sticks so that she can go home and make a meal, the very last of her flour and her oil. She was going to make a meal. And the man of God said to her, would you make me a cake first? And she said, surely as the Lord liveth, this is my last. I was prepared to make a cake for my son and myself, eat it, and then die. Because there is no more. It's a famine. It's a drought. You might be at a place where you say, well, that's the end of it. There is no hope. God, I don't know what to do. I'm throwing in the towel. I'm giving up. I'm calling it quits. I'm here to tell you this morning, don't. The man of God said to her, if you obey and do what the Lord asks of you, you will have no lack. I'm here this morning to remind you, don't give up. Be obedient to what God is asking you to do, and there will be no lack. And so the woman went ahead in obedience and made that cake. Served the man of God. And guess what? The Bible declares that she had no lack. Every day she continued to draw flour from her barrel and oil. She had no lack for days, and she continued. Let me just go a little further, because sometimes we just see the first part of the miracle. She had a son. And after a number of days, the son died. My God. Sometimes there are some situations in your life that needs to die to really see the hand of God move. Her son died, and she said to the man of God, I don't understand this. What, is God testing me? Is he punishing me for my past sins? And the man of God took the child and went up to his chamber, stretched the child out and laid his body over the child, and cried out to God so that the soul of the child could return unto him. And three times he did that. And then life came back into that child. He took that child and brought the child back to his mother. There is no limit as to what God can do. God is just asking for your obedience this morning. Hallelujah. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here this morning. Something needs to die in order to get new life. You're on the point of giving up. There are situations in your life that you know that needs changing. And you know that God is asking you, God is calling you. He's asking you, hello, will you be obedient to his word this morning? You're here this morning. You say, I can identify with this. I just want to pray for you and pray with you this morning. Hallelujah. You say, God, I'm tired. I need you. I need a miracle. I need something to change. God, what is it you're asking me to do this morning? I'm going to do it. Maybe he's asking you to step out of your old life and step into a new life. He's asking you to enter into a relationship with him. He's asking you to confess your sins this morning so that he can forgive you. He can wash you in his blood and make you cleanse once more. He wants to give you eternal life this morning. You're here. You know that you want to give something up this morning. You want eternal life this morning. Just lift your hand. You don't have to be ashamed. Though Peter felt alone, maybe he felt ashamed. He didn't catch anything. But God is about to turn situations around. I've seen the hands. Come on, you there this morning. This is not about you. It's not about the people around you, but it's about God calling you this morning. It's about God saying to you this morning, in an act of obedience, just step out, step out. Hallelujah. Don't miss that opportunity this morning. I see those hands. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, O God, for recipient hearts this morning. For as your people would have received your word, I pray that that seed that is planted this morning would germinate and would grow into a mighty tree, bearing fruits, O God. Father, this morning I lift up every soul before you, everyone who would have lifted their hands, and even those who may have been ashamed to lift their hands for whatever reason, I pray this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for their situation. I bind up every plan of the enemy to bring doubt and resentment and fear, God, whatever the circumstances are this morning. Everything that is, oh God, against, oh God, the will of heaven this morning, I come against it in the mighty name of Jesus. I break every curse, every situation, dear God, every torment, oh God. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, I uproot those things this morning that seem to be choking, oh God, your people, and I cast them out of their lives in the name of Jesus. God, just as Peter would have cast his net and cast his shame, his hopelessness, his tiredness, dear God, into the waters. This morning I pray, oh God, that as your people cast their burdens, God, that there would be restoration. God, that there would be a transformation. That all the negatives that are gone would now be restored with positive. Moreover, God, that they would have hope. God, that there would be a restoration of peace, that they would see and sense the love of God in their life. Moreover, God, that their lives would be open for purpose, that they would have a renewed sense of purpose and direction. Father, those hands that went up, where persons would declare that they want to know you, this morning I pray, oh God, that you would touch their lives. If you're here this morning and you want to experience the power of God in your life, you want to see that transformation, you want to give your life to the Lord and say, Jesus, I'm tired of that old life. I want to make a commitment unto you. I want to serve you and experience the real power that lies in you. Please repeat after me. Dear God, I'm sorry for my sins. I come to the place where I realize I can't do it on my own. Jesus, I confess my sins. I invite you to come into my heart, change my life, and be Lord and Savior of my life from this day forward. Thank you for your blood. Wash me with your blood now and cleanse me in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. God richly bless you. Back over to you, Pastor.